This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 226 of the Countdown Podcast. You're listening to two fools about to rebel yell at each other. My name's Wayne.
You like that?
How long were you up writing that
I
one?
I totally just wrote that now. I'm still typing as I said it.
Sure. See me typing, bitch?
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today is a Patreon exclusive. Mm-hmm. Not exclusive. Patreon directed episode.
That's right.
So David Powell, top level patron to the show. Thank you so much, David, for your support. Has directed us to do the top 10 rebel films.
Rebel films.
And what do we mean by rebel films? We mean films, well, David means films where the central theme is rebellion or revolution. It could be anything from nationwide revolution all the way down to one man or woman rebelling against the system.
The system.
So that's a pretty big brief, as it turns
huge
out.
Huge, broad brief, which is nice because God knows this shit is not easy.
Sometimes it's not.
It's really not easy.
We love all our patients. We love all our suggestions.
No, I love doing it, but holy shit. It ain't sometimes just like, how about this? Nope.
That said, this could be really wildly different, our list. So
I reckon it will be just quietly. It
could be a lot of fun this episode. And I'm sure the soundboard, welcome to you. We'll get a good workout as we go.
Fuck it.
Before we get there, though, a couple of little bits of feedback and then the results of last week's episode. In fact, this one also relates to last week's episode, the top 10 films that would never get made today.
Mm.
From Kelvin, from the Go Watch a Movie podcast, which I had the pleasure of guesting on earlier in the year. After listening to the last episode, I just wanted to say that I still love you, Wayne, even though you seem to dislike my race.
Oh my God, what? Who said that? Really? Oh my God. No, Kelvin, I don't know what race you are at, but I don't hate people. I only hate persons. Okay? And it's got nothing to do with where you're from.
I believe Kelvin is African American.
Everything can do what you say. Ah, okay. No, dude, really? Seriously?
Good. I want to give you a chance.
We're both ethnicities, man. Come on. Over here, you guys are a minority, like just like I am. So I'm saying no, absolutely not.
Not at all.
God. I love the black man.
Maybe too much.
Yes, in my ass.
But thank you for that feedback. And then he did later on say, look, I'm largely joking. He just did.
Please do. Thank God. Still, I horrible for a second there.
If Kelvin had that reaction, I thought it would be worth addressing. So
what you're saying is, Paul, I make too many racial jokes, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fine with you saying that.
And the next one is from a long time listener show, Matt. And he's written here via Twitter, and I asked if it's okay to share this, and he said it was. So I'm just going to read through this. Hi, Paul. I've been away from the Twitters for an age, but I still listen to the show twice a week and love reading your reviews on Letterboxd. Thank you, Matt.
Nice.
I've had some struggles in recent times, but you and Wayne never fail to get me chuckling and put a smile on my face.
Good to hear.
Honestly, that silly, bald, ballsack of a man is a fucking national treasure. Big love to the pair of you for sharing something so pure and entertaining in a world of increasingly vacuous and idiotic people.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, man. That's really, really kind.
That's such a heartfelt message, and I'm particularly pleased that vacuous and idiotic was not applied to us.
For a change.
For a change, exactly right. Thank you, Matt. We really appreciate those kind words.
Hey, Matt, check out a book called Everything is Fucked, A Story About Hope by Mark Manson. It's a book. Just give it a try. If you're feeling a little weird about this stuff, give that a try.
There you go. And the last bit of feedback this week is, of course, our result from last week's show. As mentioned, the top 10 films that would never get made today. I was leading 10-8, one draw for the year. I'm now leading 11.
Yay! Oh, killing it.
8-1, 25 votes to 17. Votes were down this week in the listener community. I'm not sure if the people were abstaining because it was such controversial material that we were tackling. Which is weird because that episode has hit as large as any episode ever has for us. I think it's the second most downloaded episode we've had for a first week.
I told you racial humor is fine.
To a point. To a point. All right, that is it for the preamble. Let's get into it then on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 rebel films. The top 10 rebel films is the topic of this week's countdown, and I will never get tired of using the mixer.
I never actually know which fucking button he's going to push, so each time I'm trying not to laugh or react, while he's stupid,
because he can see me fiddling with it over there. All right, well, David gave us the parameters. He said it could be as big as an uprising of an entire nation, all the way down to one particular individual's struggle
bucking
against
the system, yes.
How did you go about your list, Wayne?
This is interesting, everyone. It's very controversial. Uh-oh. I made a list of like fairly what I thought were obvious choices, mm-hmm. and threw most of them out. Okay. I'm telling you, because if I did mention, some of them are still in here, but some of these choices are so, I've just talked about them so much, I don't want to mention them anymore. I'm telling you right now, this is a left of right list. It is not. It's got things that you probably may want to argue with, or Paul definitely will. So
to some of what you're saying, I agree. There was two or three. I went, I'm not talking about
I'm
it
again. I'm not talking about that shit again.
Doing
exactly.
it again. I'm not. So I put it on my honorable mentions and acknowledged it as such. But there's a couple that I had to put in here.
Yes.
Because they fit the brief too well
right.
to not.
And you've got, you know, I can say something about them at least that isn't the same old shit. So
sure. Yeah. We'll find out.
Sometimes it doesn't happen. Go on.
All right. Well, shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first, man.
All right, here we go. My number 10 then is a film which I think you still haven't seen, and it bothers me and the listeners no end, Wayne.
Go on.
And we do have a couple of listeners who are going back through the old. Has Wayne listened to this yet? Watched that movie yet? I'm like, nope. Fuck, of course not. He hasn't. Of course not. Of course not. He has not. No, no, and no.
Guys, my dick is not going to jerk itself. Okay, I ain't got a lot of time. I'm just saying.
I ain't got time. To watch. I'm talking about 1975's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, no, I haven't.
No, there you go. Starring Jack Nicholson in an iconic role, that of a man who's been put, well, managed to get himself put into an insane asylum, effectively, and there begins to lead a one-man uprising against the system, particularly played by Nurse Ratched, in an Academy Award-winning performance from
You've told me much about
Louise
this.
Fletcher.
Yeah. So, by the way, is Jack Nicholson, is it just his performance that makes this show? Or is it just a crazy ass show?
I think it's a great book. So great it's book. Good source material. It's well directed. And yeah, obviously Jack Nicholson and Louise Fletcher are the shit, but it's a pretty fantastic film of its time.
Okay, very cool. I'm sure everyone would agree with that one.
Not much more to say about it than that. Surely everyone other than Wayne has seen this in the last 44 years, so you all know what I'm talking about. Absolutely iconic role, which Jack nails with a very sad ending.
Okay. I actually know the ending.
Because I've spoken about 18 times before.
I know, fair enough, I was late. So, yeah. Okay, well, my number 10, to change tack completely, is goddamn Footloose.
Yeah, okay. I think okay, so, one or two listeners mentioned that, so it's I've never seen this film.
You've not seen Footloose? Oh, Cracker, you
Oh, sorry, was it worth this?
Yes! I can't believe you're ragging on me, Cuckoo's Nest, and you ain't seen Footloose. That's right. It's way
That's
up.
Way it up.
Way up on the highest, man. 80s, son. Don't even worry about it. Kevin Bacon, right? His name is Kevin Bacon.
Bitch, please.
That's what I... And this movie is about this dude who's from the city, and he comes to this little country town in the States, and it's a real little-ass little town where the pastor who pretty much is running the show, and he has outlawed dancing. He is outlawed dancing in the whole town, and Kevin Bacon can't believe it because he just got to dance. You know what I'm saying? And
if I may summarize my reaction to that statement with you.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating
well,
here,
now,
time.
If you've been to some Midwest towns, I'm pretty sure this shit has happened.
No, come on.
Dude.
Because dancing is the work of the devil? What's the rationale?
Oh, dude, of course. You know these priest motherfuckers be all saying shit like gyration and dancing is the root of the evil. And that happens all the time. This is a very old theme, man. This is an extremely old theme.
Is it set contemporary, like 84?
Yeah, it's set in 84. Again, 84. That kind of could have happened back then. I'm telling you. Go hang at Arkansas one time.
Nope.
Just tell me what you think.
Right? No, thanks.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, respect to all our listeners from
Arkansas.
We
love Arkansas, okay? Friendliest people ever. Anyway. Why this film kind of resonated with me. As a child, I knew nothing about the world. It was 1984. I was what?
Nine.
9 years old, all right? I didn't know shit about the world. I didn't even really identify with rebellion because I was a passive child, okay?
Was it like the Kenny Loggins connection?
Look, Kenny Loggins had a lot to do with it, but I personally just... This movie here, watching this town pastor with the... You know, he's got the town oppressed and he's such an ass and he doesn't allow dancing and then... Kevin Bacon comes in and kicks ass and just decides and basically gets everyone on his side.
Do you mean like kicks ass fighting or kicks ass by
there
dancing?
There's scenes where he has fights and kicks ass.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm more interested
in
than
the
I was
dancing. He's actually like soaring through the air, acrobatic type dancing, not just the fucking kicking and that shit. All right?
I will forever associate this film with the song.
Of course you will. And you know what? There's like Sean. No, who is it? Who's the fat Penn?
Chris.
I think Chris Penn is in this in one of his first roles.
Fat Penn. Yeah. Buff all of you.
He's in this like playing a beefcake guy who learns how to dance and shit. It's kind
of
good, man.
Is it like the prequel to Best of the Best?
What? No. Well, that actually is an interesting like way to look at it. But you know what? Get this.
I saw in an interview that Kevin Bacon said that when he had to fight for this role because someone cast him and the executive at the studio said, that kid is unfuckable, right? He then had to go to a photo shoot to try and look fuckable too.
Really?
Yeah, this is back then, 84, man. I'm telling
there
you.
There is a lot of people around the world right now who have heard that and are just like, how dare that executive?
Exactly. Right. You know, what are you going to do? But anyway, there you are. Footloose.
Okay.
Rebellious.
I run. I have a playlist that I run to when I'm running. And Footloose is on there.
Oh, really?
It's the perfect cadence or beat for my cadence. Do. So, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Every step that I take with my gait is on the beat.
I wonder if there's a playlist you can create with just that fucking signature and you can all the whole playlist is
probably.
Like that?
I'm sure cool. There are ways of doing that. So, very yeah, nice. That's my closest association to it. But okay, so that's an interesting number 10. My number 9 is appropriate because it's District 9.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, again, one of the films we talk about all the time, right? But basically, it's
yeah.
Follows Vikas Vandermeerve, or Chateau Copley in yep. his Hollywood, so to speak, debut.
Holly Mad Murdoch.
Yes. And eventually. And he is a puppet of the system mm-hmm. in this very apartheid, not
suggestive,
subtle
yes.
dig at racism, effectively. So these aliens are landed and they're put in these slums. And he is a bureaucrat which goes along and suppresses and keeps these aliens at bay, including killing their young when they're having unregistered births and all the rest of it. He's he's not a likable person.
He's not likable, but he's not a evil twirling guy. He seems to be a bureaucrat.
No, he's not a must. Yeah, exactly. He's a product of the system. And so when he gets basically infected with the alien DNA
and starts turning into one,
he has to buck the system. Otherwise, he's going to be treated the same way.
Totally.
And leads basically to an uprising of the aliens.
This really was an amazing film.
Oh, it is the only film in history. This is what I always come back to when I'm like, and I do have to defend this film occasionally to people. It's the only film in history which changes genres halfway through and no one notices. It's a mockumentary.
That's a good point.
Which becomes a sci-fi action.
Yes, you're right. And because they just lose the talking to the camera thing.
It's just gone. It becomes a normal narrative film. And nobody minds.
Normally that would piss you off, man.
Oh, normally I'd be ropeable about it.
But it works, right?
But because I was so blown away and taken with the film, completely forgive it. In fact, I feel it a little bit like, complete random aside here, layer cake, not realizing that someone's name wasn't mentioned the entire way through the film.
So cool. By the way, everyone, Paul has this thing about fucking Forrest Gump and how the narrative, like, perspective changes throughout the film and he can't handle it.
Yep.
So I'm just
saying, one of the many things I hate about that
some
movie.
Some bullshit right there because it's amazing. Okay.
So that's my number 9, District 9.
My number 9, everyone, is Rian Johnson's Brick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For anyone who doesn't know, Brick is a film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Directed by Rian Johnson.
And his directorial debut, I believe.
Yes, his first film. And it's set in a high school. So technically it's a teen murder drama, but it's presented with the attitude and dialogues of a classic detective fiction thing. There's contemporary characters, kids, who are saying things like, you know, I got all 5 senses and I slept last night. That puts me 6 up on the lot of you. Shit like that. Really corny sort of dialogue, but not in a way which makes you cringe.
It's a noir film.
It's
set
noir.
In a high school in contemporary times.
I know, and it's filmed so well. So this Joseph Gordon-Levitt character is like sort of the private eye, like, you know, kind of against the rules. Yeah, and he's
against
dealing
the
with...
rules?
I think he's a rebel. He's bucking the systems because he's actually trying to infiltrate the high school and talks to the principal as though the principal were the chief of police, saying like, you've helped this office before and stuff like that. And he's trying to find out who murdered his ex-girlfriend, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he has to me, the streak of rebellion is here because he has to go to all the characters and all the groups in high school that he doesn't normally talk to. He's the guy subverting kind of that system. What do you think? What do you think?
Gee, given all the choices you could have made, you've really mined deep for that theme in this film.
Well, I think to me, he's like a James Dean kind of character, but he's the detective. So he's Sam Spade, another rebel, you might say.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying that's what I feel from this film. No.
Okay. All right. I think it's a good film. It's an interesting film. I quite enjoyed it when I watched it a long time ago. I'm just surprised that it's coming up on this list.
Well, I feel like it's a rebellious film. I just do.
I feel like you're being rebellious by including it, but okay.
All right. Well, that's fine. Let's keep going with yours.
My number 8 is a film which begins with the words Mad Max and ends with 2. Not Mad Max Fury Road, because that would have been too easy and I'm excluding it because I talk about it all the time. Instead, I'm going Mad Max 2. The Road Warrior, if you prefer, if you're in the States.
Oh, Mad Max 2.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So George Miller's seminal classic to his seminal classic, if you will. A film in which the budget got proportionally bumped up and Max gets to really become the guy that we come to know him as rather than sort of the family man that he is, who goes over the edge in the last 20 minutes of the original. He's way over the edge here. So he's bucking against the system by helping this small group of people who are set up on top of a fuel silo, mm-hmm. in effect, and Lord Humongous, or the Humongous, are trying, and his gang of barbarian marauders are trying to get to it, and they are, as I said, the dominant power. And mm-hmm. so Max throws himself, puts it on the line, basically, after they help him, and he really doesn't have a lot of choice, but he bucks the system in that particular. He is the ultimate rebellious individual. He doesn't even want to throw in with his good guys. He just wants to be his own dude in his apocalyptic landscape.
I would say, in a post-apocalyptic world where there is no order, would it be quite difficult to be a rebel?
Everyone is different shades of rebel.
Okay.
Everyone's a rebel, but there are more people are more rebellious than others, Wayne.
Okay, so I think that, like...
Did you hear what I channeled there, everyone? 1984.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with this film, so it's...
Not with the film, but with the theme.
All right, if you let me have the last one, you can have this one.
Sure. Let's move along, because I'm sure there's a lot more controversy.
Yes, I know. My number... is it 8? Yes.
Yes.
My number 8, everyone, was going to be The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's on my honorable mentions.
Right, but then I didn't want to talk about that, so I'm talking about this one. It's Red Dawn. Now, the original Red Dawn.
Oh, no, please be the remake.
No, that one's shit. The original Red Dawn, I happened...
Absolutely appropriate choice.
Yeah, I had to catch this, right? Before I saw The Empire Strikes Back at the drive-in.
That's when a hell I was of a double child. Feature.
Dude, and I didn't know what Red Dawn was.
The Empire Strikes Back? Red Dawn was 3 years later.
Maybe it was Return of the
Return
Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah. Okay. Damn, you're good with a date, son. Shit. All right. Anyway, that. So I didn't know who Patrick Swayze was or any of these people were. You know, like, that was just like, what the hell is this?
I'm waiting Charlie
for,
Sheen.
Yeah, I was waiting for, like, the thing to come on. But I gotta say this. Red Dawn is about, like, Russians coming in and invading America. Okay, and this bunch of kids in this town have to go swing by the gun store, get a shitload of guns and shit and ammo, and then piss off to the fucking forest and, you know, try and basically be rebels against this fucking oppression. And it's a good movie overall. It's a, you know, it's like, it's, I think it's quite
cheesy,
well.
It's not
cheesy,
bad.
But it's like, you know, coming of age as an old guy, as a young guy, whatever, all that shit. But there's a bit where they have to learn to hunt, and they fire and they shoot a deer. And in order to turn you into a real hunter, you have to get a cup in there and scoop out the deer's blood and drink it. And I was horrified. And as a kid, I was like,
so
what?
Gross.
It's so disgusting, man. And then they were, all the guys were like, yeah, he did it, yeah. And I'm like, I would throw the fuck up. So, but the actual movie itself, I actually quite liked. That thing there made me remember it.
Again, in a top 10 rebel films, you've decided to focus on that moment.
Well, that's the thing. That
when he follows and he conforms to the expectations and drinks the blood.
If you think about it, he's conforming to the rebellion. So really,
no, because hunting is a tradition which goes back beyond the.
I think it's more being a man, but yeah, you're right. I'm just saying that was a scene unrelated to the whole rest of the theme.
I was like, why talk about it?
Because it was the thing I remember, Paul. I stand resolute, motherfucker.
All right, yeah, sure, good choice. Just a weird way of talking about it.
I'm a ridiculous person.
My number 7 is a film which you bang on about all the time, and I'm pretty sure, not last week, but the week before, you banged on about it again. It is the ultimate, well, not the ultimate, one of the ultimate rebellion films. It's Kurt Wimmer's Equilibrium.
Oh, dude, what a great fucking film. Again, I only didn't put it on this list because
you talk about
now you can talk about it. Good.
Yeah, very, very straightforward. It's a film which emotions are outlawed, and everybody gets given a drug to take at the start of the day, which, you know, keeps their emotions down so they don't sense offend. In other words, engage anything that uplifts the soul, engages the emotions. And Christian Bale is a cleric who enforces all that, who starts to realize how wrong the system is. And he leads the revolution, or gets involved in the revolution, to fight back against the oppressors.
Totally wicked. Totally wicked show.
Totally fits the brief. It was like a cult film which gained a bit of notoriety. And we're talking all the way back in 2002. It's hard to believe it's 17 years old, this movie.
It's one of my favorite sleepers, this movie.
Yeah, like, that's a good description. Mm. Sleeper hit. That's my number 7.
Word. My number 7 is one that I just couldn't leave off here. It's, of course,
Ferris Daler's Bueller Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Daler's Bue Off. Now, yeah. I'm sure everyone knows this one. I'm not going to crap through it. However, what I will tell
you... Trifle annoyed at myself, I didn't think of it.
Well, dude, this is the ultimate thing. If you're dreaming about being a cool cracker at school, you're dreaming about being Ferris. I mean, except, you know, for the time
Twist
you were at...
Twist shout!
Of course. If you're on a... I mean, forget about it. But you know what was cool about this, right? A lot of the movies on my list are like, they deal with the pain of being an outsider, because rebelling is lonely, and it's, you know, you're fighting everyone, and yada yada, you're longing for acceptance. This movie doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. The rebel in this movie, he's popular. Everyone wants to fuck him and shit, man. So that was such
a... Save Ferris.
Right? It's an encouraging thought. And at the time...
He's a righteous dude.
Righteous dude. And he... Rooney is the shit, though. Ed Rooney, the... Yeah, well, fucker. That's good shit. But yes, Ferris Bueller, he's the shit. And I still kind of think that Matthew...
Broderick.
Broderick is still trading off this character, no doubt.
So much so that it was in a series of ads a few years ago where he's reprising him as an adult.
That's right. Yeah. There you go, see?
Yeah, I agree. Good pick. Can't fault it at all. Well done, sir. My number six is a film which Joss Whedon described as being about a bunch of characters from Star Wars had they lost the war.
Oh, Serenity?
Serenity.
Yeah.
Well, what a rebellion film. This is a film about a crew who are constantly fighting against the higher order. And eventually, potentially finding a way through to crack and beat. I can't remember what the name. They're brown coats. The brown coats are the rebels.
The brown coats are the rebels. That's right.
Yes, and to beat the government that exists all throughout the galaxy, not just the one world. We're talking about leading a rebellion, or at least inciting a rebellion against an entire universe or galaxy.
Yeah, what's cool about this show and the series is the blue gloves worn by the bad guys. That's just somehow creepy and cool. I always thought.
Yeah, but it's a nice little touch.
No, it's a wicked, like, Joss Whedon. What a shame this thing didn't kick.
Yeah.
It's just one of those damn things. But yeah, Serenity is an awesome movie. They only made one, didn't they?
Just the one, yeah. It didn't do well enough, sadly, to relaunch the series. Although I think it has various comic book forms and the like. Mm. But yeah, this was an absolute favorite. And speaking of sleeper TV shows, boy, there's an underswelling of support for this show which exists today. Like, Nathan Fillion is popping up in some TV show called The Rookie. I'm pretty sure there would have been a push online. Several of them were like, bring back Serenity then if you're not doing Castle anymore.
Well, in Castle.
And I would have thrown my voice behind that. Yeah, do that. Because I sound much better.
In Castle, there's a homage to his character in Serenity where he actually pulls out the coat and guns and shit. It's kind of cool.
Nice.
So, yeah. All right. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
My number six is a classic, which I only saw a few years ago.
Mm.
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, it's on my honorable mentions.
Dude.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, I only saw this, not ironically, but in the, I guess I should watch this and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, it's still dated in the way that it is. But one of the things that I really liked about it is there's a scene where, like, Luke and the prison crew are tarring the road. And rather than be pushed around and oppressed, Luke decides to whip everyone into a frenzy and say, let's make this a fucking competition. Mm-hmm. How fast can we do it? Yeah, and they end up nailing it in, like, then after that, they have the afternoon off. And it was just, what kind of struck me was that it's like, he made them have a good time by actually changing just their attitude on the punishing they were receiving, which is just smart. So, I don't know. It's like, that's the best kind of rebellion, when you're actually doing the thing but not letting it affect you. And I just love that theme. So.
Yeah. And meanwhile, he's trying to constantly escape, and he's never accepting the fact that the warden, or whatever his name is...
Yeah.
Doesn't accept that rule. What I really liked about that movie, I think the best thing it does, is it really turns the bad dude in the prison is going to be my antagonist.
Yes.
So George Kennedy, who I think won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for this
film. Did he? Oh, really? I think.
If not, he was nominated.
Fair enough. I mean, fair enough.
He becomes his biggest ally.
That's right.
Which is in a pretty cool scene where he whips his ass so badly, but Luke just won't go down. He keeps getting up, keeps getting up, keeps getting up, keeps getting up. So yeah. That scene was the best part of the film for me.
No, that was cool. I mean, we all remember the eggs, but like that was cool.
Ridiculous. Why the fuck? Why would people get so excited about that? I guess if you live in a prison camp like that.
Dude, have you seen, there's a Jackass segment where they get people who try and do that, to try and eat that many eggs.
How many was it again? 30?
I can't remember.
Or was it 60?
Ass ton of eggs. But then people were throwing up and then kept on eating.
No.
God. And it was just, this is gross. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, good pick. Cool. I said on my honorable mentions.
There you are.
My number five is... Again, there's a theme to a lot of my list. It is one dude leading an uprising against the order. And this is a worldwide order in this particular case. It's John Carpenter's comment on capitalism. It's 1988's They Live, starring Rowdy.
I knew you'd have this.
Rowdy Piper. Yeah. Come on. Get excited. This film is awesome. Fuck you, Nick, from the Epic Film Guys. You are totally wrong. Wrong.
Jesus Christ. Wrong. This is a shit film.
Justin from the Epic Film Guys, who I don't think ever listens to the show, so he's not really going to help me much here, but he will understand. Most of you out there understand. Wayne and Nick, I don't understand what their beef with this film is.
I don't know.
It's a fantastic film, and it totally fits the brief, so here's a dick you can suck on.
Put these glasses on, cunt!
Yes, it's a film where I know his name is
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, yes, but he doesn't get a name in the film.
Doesn't he?
He does. John Nada. So okay. May as well be no name.
Nothing.
He wanders into LA or wherever the hell it is, gets involved in sort of the slums there, trying to find some work, ends up stumbling across his sunglasses, which allows him to see the world as it actually is, which is aliens have infiltrated the world.
And opposing as humans.
And opposing as humans. And with sort of subliminal advertising are keeping us all at bay.
Mm.
Which is, I think, an intriguing idea. You might not like the way that it was put together, but you got to acknowledge the idea is great.
The idea is great because it's kind of happening now. Subliminal advertising.
Says the marketer.
No, and Google fucking analytics and all this sort of shit and algorithms and stuff are actually controlling the way you do things. Yeah. So it's kind of real.
Hands up if you think your phone has listened to what you've talked
about. Oh, dude, I totally tested that. I said cat food 7 times and I said someone else got someone else to say cat food 7 times, even though I've never ever said cat food.
Because why would you? Because you don't have a cat.
Yeah, and then 3 days later, boom, ad for cat food. What? That's right. The damn phone was listening.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there we are talking.
They live. They live on cat food.
It's a conspiracy. Okay. My number 5, everyone, is a movie that I always loved and we never really talk about it here. It's called Swimming with Sharks.
Oh. Well, yeah. This is interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So here's a movie. Now, yes, it's Kevin Spacey. All right. But also Frank Whaley.
And past that. Yep.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey is like this big time executive in Hollywood, film studio, whatever, head honcho. And Frank Whaley is his like new assistant. And he was willing to do whatever it takes to make it in Hollywood. And Kevin Spacey is the biggest prick you've ever met. He shits all over him and makes a point of fucking on him and doing all sorts of shit. And this Frank Whaley, when he finds out that his girlfriend is actually banging Kevin Spacey, he goes apeshit, kidnaps fucking Kevin Spacey, ties him to a fucking chair, and starts doing weird, shitty, tortury things to him, right? It's fucked up. And man, I love this film. It's... Because it's the ultimate, fuck everyone. He just doesn't give a shit anymore. He's like, I've snapped. Mm-hmm. I'm rebelling against the whole studio. Well, definitely my boss. So he does that shit. The way the film ends, in my opinion, brilliant. Okay? Probably couldn't be made today if you missed that brief last week. Yeah. Okay. There's a couple like that on here, by the way. All right. So yeah, Swimming with Sharks. If you haven't seen it, give it a try.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I've seen it, but so long ago, because mid-90s, this film?
Oh, yeah.
I barely remember it other than the central
I think I wasn't expecting anything good, but it was just well done.
Okay. So can't argue with you there. More than therefore, fair enough. My number 4 is a film that's familiar to everybody. And again, we talk about it a fair bit. We don't have to talk about it much today. I'm talking about David Fincher's adaptation of Chuck Palahniuk's The Fight Club. Fight Club. It doesn't start out that way, but ultimately it does become one guy in his weird way leading an uprising against society as it exists. It starts by selling people their fat asses back to them in the form of soap, and it ends in blowing up credit card towers, housing, credit card buildings. Sorry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Credit card companies, boom, that'll do. Totally. To, in other words, reduce everybody's debt to nothing.
Yeah. This thing was goddamn brilliant. And I tell you something else, Chuck Palahniuk, I've never read any of his books, but I seem to have seen a lot of movies that were made from his books, like Choke and all that sort of thing. Fucking great. I saw someone on Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking. He's a really interesting guy.
You would imagine, given the way he writes.
It's just nuts, like his stuff. And it always starts with a fucking support group at the beginning.
Okay. Is that the thing he's written in on purpose?
Is that the way in Choke? And yeah, I think so.
Certainly Fight Club, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely hugely wicked. This is cool.
It's a great book. It's really short. You should read it. It's only 150 pages long.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, done. Wicked. All right. My number 4 is definitely should have been the top of my last week's podcast with with movies that could never be made today. Uh-oh. I just forgot it. I just forgot it. Okay. The movie is American Beauty. You're not making that thing today, or at least not with that ending. But with the young girl. You know what I'm saying? Because this movie, everyone, is...
I guess he rebels against his sort of middle-agedness, doesn't
he? Dude, he does everything... I was about to tell you, okay? So basically, Kevin Spacey, yes, again... is disillusioned with his existence.
A vote for Wayne.
No, not. He's a telesales operative and he's like, you know, he's disillusioned with his existence and begins to hunger for like fresh excitement. He experiences a new awakening in terms of basically he's a lead character and he just decides to tell the whole world to fuck it. He buys a sports car he always wanted. He catches his wife cheating and tells her to get fucked. He starts working out, gets a job at McDonald's because fuck everyone. And then he hooks up with a teenage girl, which I don't condone. But
just to be clear,
but the way the movie handles it is probably the most courageous and I would say skillful
like management of that thing I've ever seen on a screen. And you know what? Yeah, I think this, again, you couldn't make it today, but they made it right when they could. And this movie works on every level, even though it's so dangerous, like, to do that. And yeah, this, I think the whole thing where he says, fuck you, I rule, I'm doing everything I want, right? He's just like, fuck everyone. And I just enjoyed the spirit of that.
Okay.
So, yep.
I see how the film meets the brief. So that's your number 4, American Beauty.
Yep.
My number 3 is even more classic than Cool Hand Luke You, going all the way back to 1963. It is John Sturges' The Great Escape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Steve McQueen leading a bunch of British and American soldiers as they try to escape from a Nazi prisoner of war camp.
Mm-hmm.
It is just wonderful.
No, it's the shit. I saw this when I was a kid with my grandma. Holy shit. The jumping of the damn barriers.
And he gets caught. And that's something. I mean, if you haven't seen this film in 56 years, then
no.
This is on you. But the fact he doesn't escape, he's the one dude who doesn't. He doesn't die, and he doesn't get away.
Yep.
Because, you know, half and half is...
And he's tangled up,
He just goes back, and he goes back to throwing his ball. Waiting for his next opportunity to escape. So he's one of the major ringleaders. He, again, it's a small, much smaller rebellion than some of the other films on my list, but such a powerful one.
Yeah. And I didn't even know you could jump a motorcycle without a ramp. That was just cool. When I saw that at the time, I'm like, God damn, this movie just went up a few notches. Because before that, it's all character development, and I was fucking 4 or something. So
there's a lot of things going on in this film beyond the jump, Wayne.
But it was so cool. Yeah, I mean, I had a BMX when I was a youngster.
Who didn't?
Yeah, I know. But like, I couldn't jump. So for me, someone who could jump with a motorcycle, even cooler.
Yeah.
But of course, there's many other good things about
this. Super cool. Great cast, James Garner, Donald Pleasance, Richard Attenborough, David McCallum, Charles Bronson, James Coburn.
When I saw Charles Bronson in it, man. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I know, right?
This is one of those all-time classics, and I just thought this deserved a place on a list like this.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call.
Cool, that's my 3.
My number 3 is also an old classic of mine. It's called Good Morning, Vietnam.
Oh.
Yep.
Yes, so fits the brief, for sure. Time.
It's about Robin Williams, who is a broadcaster during Vietnam, and he goes to Vietnam, and he's basically very raucous, very funny on the mic, and you know the men love him, everyone loves him, and sort of stuff. And there's a bunch of shit going on with like bombings and obviously the trouble in the area, stuff like that.
Fair to say, this film, like I know he was on Malcolm Indy and whatever. Yeah. Is this the film that made Robin Williams a household name?
I would say so, because no one knew he could do... We knew he'd be funny.
Well, he was obviously a big comedian.
He was. But then at the end, it became like a drama where he's like, you know, crying and shit. And he's like fighting the challenge. Yeah, he's actually good. And, I actually had the soundtrack. Did we all have the soundtrack? We were kids.
No,
I don't know.
I didn't have it, but it was probably in my house.
Yeah, it was in your house somewhere. Because it was all just like, you know, the 70s music or whatever. But it was cool, 60s music. But the idea of the funny guy being the rebel who inspires people... Obviously, that's a utopian ideal for me, but it showed me that cracking jokes can actually make a difference, and that even though everyone wants you to be serious and toe the line all the time, humor can deliver you from boredom and the prison of the system, kind of, at least temporarily for me. Yeah. That's what I always felt like.
Right.
So, yeah, profound on me, this one. Good morning, Vietnam. Or should I say, good... No, I won't do it.
No. Wayne, cock-teasing again.
You want me to bust it out?
Here
we
go.
Here we go. Good morning! How you like them apples?
If you still have your ears.
I faced away from the mic. I think you're fine. I think you're fine.
Sort of did.
Just dampen it.
Kind of regret that decision to incite Wayne to continue. My number two. I debated which film of this series to put on there because they're all following a rebellion of a higher level or another.
Yeah.
In fact, over the course, again, arguably, of a whole galaxy. And I wanted this one, I wanted that one, I wanted the newest one, which I think is great, but I've only seen it once. So I ended up settling on the cliched answer. And I do apologize to some degree, but when you think Star Wars, you think Empire Strikes Back.
Yep. This is a tough one because I was going to throw in Rogue One.
That was what I was going to do. Yeah. No, it wouldn't have pissed me off at all. I'd have been like, yeah, thank you. I'm glad you spoke about that one. But because I've still only seen it the once... I feel a little bit bad. Like,
wait, you only saw Empire once?
No, Rogue.
Oh, Rogue.
Rogue One.
Oh, I've seen that shit 3 times.
Empire Strikes Back, I've seen, I don't know, countless times, especially when I was a kid. So, yeah, the fact that the rebellion isn't successful in this film is kind of why I decided to throw this one in here.
Yeah, good point.
It's not always, like, if it has to be a success, does that make it a better rebel film? Well, isn't it about the fight rather than the end
result? I would say so. No one would begrudge you this. It's the Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that's how it is, right?
Yeah, I have a bit of a tarnished record with this film on the So I Married a Movie Geek podcast.
Why is that?
The best films of 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to lose that draft despite picking Empire Strikes Back. So
wow.
Have not forgiven myself.
You're saying it's a rig? Or?
No, I'm not saying it's a rig. I'm saying someone else had more people to pull upon than I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah. What more needs to be said about Empire?
I think everyone knows about Empire.
Let's just party straight on then to your number two, sir, and then we'll give our re-list also, our recap of our lists.
Okay, my number two is 300.
Yep.
300. Just had 300 folks decided to go up against the entire Persian army, and I think everyone's seen this one. It's very beefcake. It's very, I think, inspirational about facing the overwhelming odds and sacrificing for the cause. And also, there's a lot of slow-mo and titties.
It was going so well until you said titties.
It's when Zack Snyder got it right. That's what I'm saying about this show. This is how this thing works out, okay? It's crazy-ass courage stuff.
I'm excited about his new film, Army of the Dead. Looks like he's going back to his roots, baby.
What is that?
Dudes, I'm sure, fighting slow-mo against zombies. I am in.
Oh, well,
dudes
no
and
shit.
Women, hopefully.
But Zack Snyder's done some work that you've been proud of, like the...
That's what I'm saying, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, good pick. 300 cannot fault it at all. Up against the Persian army of a million, and
adapting the comic, which I did read before seeing this, amazing that it's so much better than Spin City in that regard. Like it's
Spin City.
Sorry, Spin City. Yeah, Michael J. Fox fucking killed. No, Sin City. That adaptation was more literal, but this one was better.
Nice. All right. Well. Let's give a recap then.
Word.
My list beginning with number 10, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 9, District 9. 8, Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. At 7, I had Equilibrium. At 6, Serenity, the end of Firefly TV show. At 5, They Live, Fuck You Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
At number 4, Fight Club. 3, The Great Escape. Number 2, The Empire Strikes Back. And my number 1, rebel film of all time
is
Easy, Best Picture Winner, film that can be summarized like this.
Okay, not bad. By the way, no shit, that's my number one too.
Our only cross-up
I know.
Is our number one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if this one doesn't get on Wayne's list, I just win automatically.
Yeah. No. You know what? I almost tried to leave it off because it was too obvious. But fuck it. This is the one, man. This is the one. When you bust out a word like freedom while people tearing
just
up your
like
shit.
Like I did.
Yeah. But he did it while people were cutting up his insides, man. That shit is cold as ice.
I did it while podcasting.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. No, of course, man.
Yeah, look, obviously, Sir William Wallace, who led the Scottish people against the English oppressors.
Totally.
And a phenomenal film with some historical inaccuracies, I now understand.
Tons, apparently, but who cares? It's a damn movie.
So entertaining. One of the best films I think that's ever won an Oscar. I think maybe we argue it was up like 2, 3, 4, somewhere around that when we talked that topic earlier in the year.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
inspirational speeches, bloody battles. You know, heartfelt connections,
you know,
lots of loved ones.
Yes, that bit where he strings up her, no, he just
his wife,
and then slash.
Yep, slash.
And I'm like, you dirty fucking prick!
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back, and it's time to bust the cap on a fat.
That's
fuck.
What incites the rebellion.
Was it
Nocte something or
so
other?
So angry, yeah.
Where the Lord of the Land can sleep with your wife first, like that makes perfect sense.
Seriously, seriously, man. Goddamn Dothraki and shit.
I love the way I wonder how the church justified that one back in the day.
Who wants to root his
monogamous
wife?
Monogamous relationships are where it's at. You, thou shall never get with anybody else, but let this guy have first ride first.
Are you saying that the Catholic Church doesn't make sense, Paul? That's the first I'm hearing of it! All right.
World blown. Give us your list anyway, Wayne. Anything else you want to say about Braveheart? Again, it's a film we do talk about a lot, so I feel, but I just couldn't.
No, you can't not. I understand. This is why I eventually put it in there as well. Yeah, that was my number one. My number 10, though, is Footloose, then 9, Brick, 8, Red Dawn, 7, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 6.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay, sorry. 6 was Cool Hand Luke, 5, Swimming with Sharks, 4, American Beauty, 3, Good Morning Vietnam, 2, 300, and of course, 1 is Braveheart.
There we are. There
Braveheart.
Are top 10 rebel films. What do you reckon? Who got it right? Who didn't? You can let us know, Wayne Howe.
They can Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, and you can also hit us up on our Facebook listener community. The link is in the show notes.
Tis indeed.
Oh, and I might as well tell you about where you can listen to the show. ccradio.com.au for our Australian website where we share it with our Comic Confidential pals, Troy and Cade, and the Believe show as well. And we host our show through Podbean. We have a Patreon that you can join up.
That's
and
right.
Listen to a whole bunch of exclusive content. If you're at all interested, link again in the show notes there as well. All right, Wayne, that's our list. Any quick honorable mentions you want to run through?
Shawshank Redemption, The Last Samurai, Escape from New York, Django Unchained, Gladiator, and, well, Fight Club. There you go.
Okay. Yep. Yep. I had The Matrix.
I was wondering. I knew you wanted to talk about it. Yes. Good call. Good call.
Mad Max Fury Road. Cool Hand Luke has mentioned Conan the Barbarian.
Ah, Conan the Librarian.
And The Breakfast Club. That were my honorable mentions.
Total Breakfast Club.
All right. That's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every show with your feedback in the Pop 10 segment.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the Dumb Guzzler podcast. Good friends to the show. Number 3, First Blood.
Oh.
That one totally.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 2, Clockwork Orange. Number 1, all classics. Cool Hand Luke.
Boom.
Very nice. From Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema podcast. Do check them out. Great Aussie show. John Bender from the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Mad Max from all the Mad Max films. And Jack from Big Trouble in Little China.
Rebel.
Is he rebellious?
He was...
I wasn't sure about that one myself.
Yeah, he was more of a free spirit and he happened to get caught up in like Chinese ghosts and shit. So I think that's... maybe not rebellion, although he's rebelling against them. It's a stretch, but whatever. Right. We do that.
We are certainly known to stretch topics from time to time ourselves. From the Pine Comics podcast. Good show. Do check them out. The Empire Strikes Back, despite the fact that the Rebels lose in the end.
Mm-hmm.
They live, put on those glasses, or start eating trash. And Braveheart, Ultimate Rebel, dies having his guts pulled out, screaming, freedom.
Who's this Gidget?
No, that was John.
Oh, okay, that's your list. Yeah.
That's my list.
It's pretty much your list.
How dare you. From Sam for the Movie Views and 20 Qs podcast, Empire Strikes Back, Mad Max Fury Road, and The Matrix. So there you are in terms of some classic ones.
Kapow.
There. From Tim Cormack, Braveheart, Scottish Rebellion. Michael Collins, Irish Rebellion.
Yeah.
Total Recall, Arnie Rebellion. I like that one. Very nice. From Stephen from the Super Retro Throwback podcast. Another great show to listen to. Number 3, Rebel Without a Cause, because it's James Dean and he's the ultimate rebel.
That would have to be the classic example.
Yep. No arguments there. Number 2, They Live. One man in a pair of sunglasses versus the corporate media.
Come on, people.
Number 1, One Flew Over Cookie's Nest. One man trying to liberate a mental hospital and a rebel against the evil Nurse Ratched.
All there. All there. I see where you're making your list from. So just quietly. Paul's got an algorithm.
From Mike Seibert, from the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast. Now, he wasn't the only one to make this joke, but he was the first, so he gets the credit. Pitch Perfect, Bridesmaids, Pitch Perfect 3.
What?
Rebel Wilson films.
Oh, God. Nice one. Fuck, you got me. All right, well done.
I also wasn't quick off the mark with that.
Shit.
Chef Ben Randall from the Indoweeds podcast made the same joke.
Oh, none of us thought of it. What about that?
Jaff on Twitter said, Rogue One, sorry to bother you. Have you seen that one yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Really weird, because I didn't expect that to go that way. Yep. Yeah.
And the Molly Maguires, which I haven't seen. So.
Me neither.
Kevin Lawler. I'm agreeing with you. That's the way we should say the name. Yeah, although K-Law, we have that debate next week. Kev, check out that when it comes up.
K-Law. We're going to call
him K-Law. L-A-Law. K-L-A-Law. My first two obvious ones were The Matrix and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. However, for my third, I might have to go with 1984. It's so bleak. John Hurt is so fantastic and Richard Burton is so terrifying. Love that film. So, classic one there. From Burr Martin, hashtag selfie dad, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
against
sure.
What's Jeff Goldblum's character's name?
Yeah, that guy.
Yep. And two guilty pleasures. Kevin Costner's Robin Hood, not the only person to say that one.
I like that.
And the original Red Dawn. There you are, sir.
Boom.
From Jeffrey S. Mueller, Empire Strikes Back, The Matrix, and Braveheart. And that's all from Twitter. Over to our Facebook listening community. Dylan Miles, good friend to the show. Welcome to the Planet Bob podcast. The Matrix, Animal Farm, and District 9.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Walker said, Mulan, The Mask of Zorro. Oh, I hate The Mask of Zorro.
Why?
I don't know. Those films stunk out for me.
The first one was good, no?
Not for me. But really? I fully respect Mel. I'm glad you enjoyed
it. Sama was in it, man. No, that was Cat Zeta Jones. Sorry.
Yep. And Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, yet again. Joy Davis has said, Serenity, Cool Hand Luke, and Wings of Desire. I don't want to spoil this for anyone who hasn't seen it, but this is almost the same as Lucifer's Rebellion, but made so sweet and limited. This film surprises shit out of me and is masterful.
What do you say it's called?
Wings of Desire.
Okay.
Never
keep it up. Keep it up, yeah. Folks.
James Spence, good friend of the show, Rebel Without a Cause, Rebel in the Rye, Radio Rebel. I wonder if he went literal with that one.
Yeah, I think he may have.
I'm not sure. Jake Humphrey said V for Vendetta. Again, not the only person to say that film. Even though
fuck
you and I,
that film!
No, big fans. Number two, Us.
Fuck that film!
Totally fits the brief, though.
Does it?
Yes.
Does it?
And number one, Whiplash. I know it sounds weird, but think about it. Second act, he realizes what a tyrant Fletcher is and turns him in. And the final act sees an act of rebellion so great it brings the house down. That is, until you realize that this is what Fletcher had been pushing him to the entire time, making his final act of rebellion against Fletcher a carefully orchestrated submission to what Fletcher believed he could turn Andrew into.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh,
there's no way that... Oh. No, wait. So hang on. What's his name? Fucking J.J.
Fletcher.
Yeah, Fletcher. He didn't expect for Miles Teller to do that on
to
stage.
To kill it at the end?
Yeah. And he's just happy that it happened. They never talked again after that, okay? This was not his plan. It's just like, whatever, we're doing it. That's what happened. I'm sure.
Jake,
okay.
You and Wayne can have
we
that
can
one
talk
out.
About them, but I'm sure. Come on. All right.
From Kristen Acaro, Hunger Games, Divergent, and Brave. An animated film, which I'm sure you've never seen. And that is it, except for, of course, the man who gave us today's show, David Powell. He's got his list. I'm not going to read through all the details of it, but here's his 10. Number 10, If. It's a 1968 masterpiece.
Heard about that one, old school.
9, Snowpiercer.
Yeah, good choice.
Totally, totally fits the brief. 8, Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
Again, number 7, Logan's Run. That's a classic film.
Old school.
Great one, great sci-fi. 6, Gandhi. Which,
I guess,
absolutely. 5, Serpico, which I've never seen.
That one's good because he's the only clean cop in the
gotta check
dirty
one
cop
out.
Place.
Gotta check it out. 4, Equilibrium, as mentioned for
totes,
myself.
Totes.
3, Spartacus. Yep, can see that one too.
Yep.
2, V for Vendetta.
Really?
So giving away.
You guys gotta talk to me about this, man, because that movie stunk out loud to me when I was thinking about it.
Oh, so this I will read what he said about this. So close to being number one, the best thing the Wachowskis have ever done. Yep, even better than Matrix and Sense8, Paul.
We gotta talk.
What the hell?
We gotta talk.
Come on, man. Better than Matrix? No.
Oh, come on, man.
And number one, Brazil. I just fucking love this movie. Huh. It's Gilliam at his absolute best. Sam Lowry, the ultimate downtrodden everyman who dreams of escape in its purest sense, finds himself almost forced into the role of a revolutionary / terrorist in the pursuit of love. A perfect melding of top-shelf slapstick with high-course social satire. An amazing cast, credible vision, and pitch-perfect bleak ending. Mm. Decades ahead of its time, it unsurprisingly failed at the US box office, but deservedly appears on most lists of the best British films
Brazil.
Of all time. I know of it. I've never seen it.
I've not seen it either. Okay, there you are.
Thank you so much, David, for the topic and for your list today. That is, we are blessed to have you as such a patron of the show.
Now the arts.
And that is it for episode 226 of The Countdown. Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 227?
Well, it turns out we're doing the top 10 films that were never made.
Incorrect.
No?
We're doing the top 10 last 10.
Oh, sorry, count pace. Yeah, I knew it didn't work on my thing here. Sorry about that. We did that one. No, that's wrong.
Wayne totally forgot that we've already recorded episode 227.
Sorry about that,
and hence got his knickers in a twist.
I did. It'll be a top 10 last 10.
It will. And nothing special about that one other than I'll just give you a preview hint. Wayne's list sucks all the balls.
Or you could suck all my dicks. Okay, good. Tune in for that one.
That is it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the show and all your support of The Countdown. We really, truly do appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And you listeners have been...
Fuckhead.
And we will catch you next week.
See ya!
Top 10 Rebel films. What do you reckon? Who got it right? Who didn't? You can let us know, Wayne Howe.
Well, you can search for us on just Google the Countdown podcast or Countdown. Sorry. They can Google the Countdown. Sorry. Fucking. They can Google the Countdown movie and TV reviews podcast or send us a Jeep.
Fuck!
Sorry.